have dessert yet.
I had a little cheesecake earlier. The last bits of Uncle Tetsu.
I should have told you to bring the last bits of Uncle Tetsu. We could have shoved it into this drink.
Oh, that would be interesting. And probably soak it up like a sponge.
It like grows out of it like a science experiment. like a fungi.
Yeah, Uncle Tetsu's volcano.
That sounds like a thing. That sounds like an anime that you'd see. Appearing at the Little for this week only, Uncle Tetsu's
Volcano. It's the new movie from Studio Ghibli.
Uncle Tetsu, what did you do now?
I don't know, but we're probably going to fly into a volcano.
I mean, if I had to guess. I mean, Howl's Moving Castle didn't have stationary castles, if you get my drift. Hi, we are Buddies in Space. You are?
S. Michael Smith. You are?
And Michael Carassi.
What are you talking about? This drink, it's interesting. It wasn't what I expected. It hit me like a...
ton of bricks?
No, it hit me... Initially, it had the Kahlua, so it's like kind of a little bit of a White Russian, sort of creamy, chocolatey taste.
There's very little Kahlua in it. It's
just a splash. Okay, but that's what hit me, and then it like went into crazy town. And I don't know, is there like an almond thing in here?
Yes.
All right.
There is...
Amaretto, is that what that is?
No. No. Is amaretto?
That was an almond thing. Maybe not.
Amaretto is almond. I'm sorry, this is hazelnut.
No. Okay.
So one of my favorite drinks is the Nutty Irishman. Yeah, because it's also fun to say. And I just had a hankering for it all of a sudden. Now, apparently there's a bunch of different recipes for it, but as it was introduced to me in a bar in New York years ago, it is Bailey's and Frangelico.
Okay.
Which is the hazelnut liqueur.
Okay, right.
Which I think is delicious.
Yeah, it's good. It was some sort of nut I can...
Yeah. Oh, no. There's a lot of Frangelico in this. So that's a great drink. It's like pretty weak and pretty laid back, and it's just something you can sip on like a winter's night. And it'd been chilly at night lately, so I thought, let's do something different, desserty. But then as I was looking at the recipes, I'm like, oh, there's a lot of them that called for either whiskey or coffee.
Okay.
And I was like, all right, so why don't I do both? So there's a little bit of milk because a lot of them call for cream of some kind.
Okay.
There's like half a shot of Kahlua and half a shot of the Mackenzie pot still whiskey.
Oh, all right.
Because it's a lot stronger.
There's no coffee thing in here.
Kahlua.
Okay. I don't really think that doesn't come across as a coffee sort of taste to me.
The Kahlua. But it is coffee liqueur.
Well, it always seems like more kind of almost chocolatey or mocha-y or something.
I enjoy it more than sticking coffee in a drink. Yeah. And at like 8:30 at night, I didn't really want to subject either of us to coffee, especially after mochi cheesecake tarts last night. And we know what happened to your wife with her not being able to sleep well after that. So.
Right.
So, Drunken Nutty Irishman.
Drunken Nutty Irishman. Here's to you, Drunken Nutty Irishman.
Wherever Clink. You are.
Clank.
Clank.
So we got stuff that we wanted to talk about. I don't even know where to begin. Should we begin with saying telling people what Uncle Tetsu's is?
Probably. We need to name drop there.
I don't know. Yeah.
We're going to memento this motherfucker.
All right. So Uncle Tetsu's Japanese cheesecake is a thing that you can get, I assume, in Japan and also in Toronto.
That commercial you subjected us
to,
of the other one,
yes,
makes me think that this is definitely a thing in Japan first that made its way to Toronto.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Because there's no fucking way that kind of shit would ever start in Toronto with that kind of commercial.
Right.
Go outward, you know what I mean?
Right. So, from what I understand of my very limited exposure
to Japanese cheesecakes,
and pastries, they are a big deal in Japan. They seem to be, if what we're seeing in Toronto is any indication.
I feel like everything's a big deal in Japan.
Well, okay. It's big and trendy and, well, anyway, a couple of years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, this place opened in Japan. Called in Toronto, called Uncle Tetsu's or Uncle Tetsu's shop, and they make it's weird because it's actually two separate stores that are right next to each other. They're joined.
Okay,
like the staff can walk from one to the other, but the customers can't. So it's like kind of a U-shaped bar. For
the staff,
and they stay on the inside of the U, and the customers are on the outside of the U, and each side of that U has a different entrance to the outside.
That
the outside.
Okay.
Two different doors to go into these.
They're really about, well, you know, like people management.
I guess. Like
foot traffic flow.
I guess. And it may have been a great idea to do it that way because they were fantastically popular for at least a year or so after they opened. And I think even on this last trip, we saw a bit of a line out there on a, depending on what time of day you go.
But then the hard times came.
Well, not really the hard times. So anyway, people were literally lining up for these Japanese cheesecakes. And tarts on the other side. And the cheese tart. Cheesecake tart thing.
Now, so they were two both. Different things.
Yeah. Well, you had,
there were two different... You had to go to each storefront to get the two.
Yes. We went to one place to get the cheesecake itself.
Okay.
Which is really delicious. And, you know, there's certainly some hype involved. But it's a tasty, tasty thing.
It is. The texture was unlike anything
I had. It's a cheesecake, but it's very light. And
yeah.
Fluffy and almost like cake-like to me.
Yeah, there was a cakiness to it. It was like a light, fluffy cake, but it was cheesecake.
Yes.
And I was confused.
Yes, but it's weird and that's their thing, so that's their specialty. On the other side, of course, we got the tarts, which are more of a traditional mini cheesecake in a tart shell.
Which are delicious.
Which were also
They were denser.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they had a pretty cheesecake. Thick, like pastry shell.
Yeah, and we had chocolate ones, we had matcha ones, which matcha was my favorite, but it might not be the best thing to have when you're trying to go to sleep.
So would you say that you're a matcha, matcha, matcha man?
God. Yeah, I would. Okay. I think that's fair. That's a fair assessment.
I'll drink to that.
So yeah, they had the matcha, the chocolate, the plain, and all of those are delicious. So, well done, Uncle Tetsu. You have made some fine products that are, you know, I don't know if I'd wait outside for an hour for them, but certainly for a few minutes with no regrets whatsoever.
Here, take my money if you don't take my time.
Yes.
And make me happy.
So then, recently, like literally within the past month.
Hold on. We gotta, like, Vice documentary this up. So everything was going great for Uncle Tetsu. Until a new game came to town.
Pablo. Woo, woo, woo. Or as they say in his commercial in the song, Pabura.
Very confusing.
It is very confusing.
Very confusing, yeah. But it looks like Pablo.
Oh, it's very clearly Pablo in, you know, regular English letters.
Yep.
Stylized. And I think there's supposedly some sort of... supposed to be some sort of Pablo Picasso influence on them because it's very they're very artistically weirdly done when you see their logo.
Okay.
So I think that's supposed to be a Picasso reference. I don't know. But they have a song that's like a jingle / theme song.
So, okay, I'm going to stop you there. There a song.
And they're saying Pabura. They are
right.
Very clearly saying Pabura.
But I take umbrage with one aspect of that sentence. And that is that you refer to that as a song. Now, to
well,
me,
somebody is singing.
Well, yes, but hear me out. Hear me out. To me, a song denotes, you know, like something here on the radio, something that makes someone, anyone on the planet happy.
It made me happy for like a minute.
A song should be able to go from beginning to end and make at least one person on the planet motherfucking Earth happy. This is not a song. This is a special form of torture that came from the bowels of hell. Not to wreak havoc on mankind, but it was so terrible that they couldn't handle it in the bowels of hell. And they're like, get this shit out of here. Send it to Japan.
When you start, it's like, it's fun and catchy. You're like, oh yeah, this is cool. I'm going to get a cheesecake. It's a song about the cheese tart that I'm about to have. But it just keeps going.
Yeah.
And then it starts over again.
And it just loops.
This song is literally what it was playing on a loop nonstop. And it's like maybe 2 minutes long.
At most. It felt longer.
If you watch the video, and you'll probably put a link up to this video.
Sure.
Sure. Why not?
This song... The amount of prancing, smiling Japanese women in this video did not in any way help the song. That's how annoying the song is. Like, I watched it, I was like, I want you all to fall in the water you're standing next to and just swim away from me with your goddamn song. Go on, sorry.
But, You ever see the old Saturday Night Live skit? Like old SNL skit where they're in Disneyland and they're like on the
Small World
thing and it gets stuck.
I've heard about this.
Yeah, it's like a classic skit. And it's just like the Small World song repeats over and over for them and they start going crazy from that. It is exactly like that. Exactly like that.
But with smiling Japanese shop girls. I have
no idea how these people that work there are able to withstand that for what must be hours on end.
To which I responded, and actually I'd love to hear from the listeners here, so feel free to Facebook us or put a comment on the website. When I worked in restaurants and like holiday season rolled around, and when I worked retail too, and holiday season rolled around, like your scope of songs narrows considerably, and you get really sick of that music really quick. But I would always stop hearing it.
Variety there, though.
But and they like 10 or 11 of the loop, but I would stop hearing it. And like people would ask me, like I remember people asking me at like a table like around Christmas time, like how do you stand all this holiday music? I'm like, oh, I don't hear it. Like it wasn't conscious. So I'm wondering if our listeners, like anyone out there,
not conscious. It's more of a self preservation technique.
Exactly, exactly.
Your body is rejecting the sounds after being exposed for too long.
The host versus graft. Yeah. So,
the weird thing about this. Not the weird thing.
The only weird thing? We're just getting to the weird thing at this point?
So when you go into Pablo's, they actually, or Pabura's, whatever. I don't know if I should be, I'm just going to call it Pablo.
Call it Pablo, but for the record and for Jason's sake, going back to Blanca Branca.
I'm not
trying
to make fun of anything.
No, exactly. I know, but we had a misconception here once before, which was very funny when we figured it out.
Yeah, yeah.
You are, I mean, I can back you up. You are literally pronouncing it the way they pronounce it.
Yes.
In their song many times.
Pabura.
Pabura. Mm-hmm. But it is spelled Pablo's.
Yes.
So I think
just Pablo. Just Pablo.
Or Pablo. So I think you're probably okay just saying.
Okay. So I'm just going to say Pablo.
Yeah.
So at Pablo, there is actually a dining area where guests can sit and eat their cheese tart.
Is it always empty?
There were like a couple people there. And I'm, you know.
Did they have hearing aids on?
I don't know.
Did you notice hearing
aids? But when we went there, we were thinking like maybe like getting like a slice and eat it there. But after waiting in line for a minute, we're like, oh no, we have to get this and leave immediately.
That's brilliant marketing.
Not an option to stay there.
That's brilliant. They keep their overhead so fucking low. I bet they never clean those tables because so few people eat on them. They don't need to waste the disinfectant.
So the different thing about Pablo is they don't. It's not a cheesecake. They market it as a cheese tart.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like cheesecake. It's more like an egg custard.
Like ragouts? Like ricotta?
No. Okay. It's more like, you know, like custard, like you bite into a custard donut.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that, except maybe a little more eggy.
I want a custard donut now.
Yeah, it was also delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a chocolate one from them. We had a couple. I'm just doing some like audible food porn here. So we had half of it fresh. And we split it and it had like a couple slices fresh. And it was very, very gooey.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very, very tasty. And it was a chocolate one. And the chocolate, whatever, was kind of mixed in like a kind of the marbly way mm-hmm. with the eggy custardy stuff.
So they took a knife and just kind of went like this before they baked it.
Maybe. I don't know.
It's really easy to do.
Well, anyway.
I've seen Erica do it.
They did that. So we put it in the fridge for a while. Then we took it out of the fridge like the next day. And the eggy stuff was still, it was a little bit more firm for having them in the fridge.
Okay.
But it was still gooey.
Okay.
But the chocolate had hardened.
Ooh.
And it was so much better that way.
Like the texture differences?
Yeah, yeah. Because you had like the chocolate, the marbling in the chocolate had gotten cold and had hardened.
So what you're saying is there were firm chocolate ribbons.
Yes.
Ensconced.
Yes.
In an egg custard.
Yes.
That was in turn ensconced in I'm assuming some form of pastry shell.
Yes. Yes. And it was delicious. So anyway,
now I'm fucking hungry.
That's our audible food porn section for the day.
Okay, just finish this.
Okay, no, so Pablo literally opened within the past month in Toronto, and the lines that had once been outside Uncle Tetsu's suddenly moved over to Pablo because Pablo is the new kid in town.
Right. The new Japanese cheese cake crossword thing.
Yes. So almost every time we walked by there, there was a good size line. We managed to go there because, you know, we were there during the middle of the week. So mm-hmm. we got in there in a decent off hour time and were able to get in without, you know, being exposed to the music for too long. And it was well worth it.
Right. And also it didn't quite go up against the Geneva Convention for torture.
Yes.
With the music exposure.
So in addition to the Japanese places, Toronto,
You cannot talk about anything else until we fucking stop and say, for the love of God, let these motherfuckers catch up. So if you haven't put this together, because Smike is just fucking jizzing all over his goddamn Japanese cheesecake story, this past 2 weekends ago now, the four of us, Mike and his wife, myself and my wife, went to Toronto together, which we have yet to establish, and we're just letting them hang in the wind because you won't let me say it.
Yeah, okay, I think people figured that out. Anyway, you just told them. So we spent...
you're an asshole.
Melinda and I were there for a week. You guys came up and we spent the weekend there. That you only had a couple of days because you have like a kid or something. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, you know, you feed him after midnight and a gremlin. You leave him alone for too long and go to jail.
You left him locked in his room with enough food for a couple of days, and I guess.
Yeah, and like a little mini potty, right? Okay. Yeah, but something about, you know, bad parenting.
Whatever.
He did get locked out of the house with his grandmother, so that was. Oh. Yeah. Well, I need to fix that storm door. Anyway.
So, Toronto is a very trendy town when it comes to dessert, apparently.
Apparently.
And it's pastries and confectionaries.
Mm-hmm.
So, we partook in a couple of different things.
Yes.
I'll start with, you want to talk about the trendy thing that we tried first?
Can you bear to stop talking about dessert for 5 seconds?
It was dessert. Well, what do you want to talk about?
You're like on cocaine right now.
There's some sugar in here.
And then we had more dessert. And there was so much dessert. It was great. I'm not going to explain what's going on right now.
I don't know. I had a matcha tart yesterday. Maybe it's still in my
system. It's still in your system.
Working its way out.
Matcha's green tea. Is it green tea powder? No, it's something more than that.
I guess. I don't know.
It's like concentrated
it's green tea. Something. It's like super green tea. I don't know.
Super green tea. So Erica and I had like a 48-hour-ish period to try to get as much Toronto in with you guys as possible.
Right.
And Mel had found this article about charcoal ice cream.
Right. And I know everybody's hearing charcoal ice cream and going, what in the fuck? That sounds awful.
Right. I'm going to put a picture
up. Why would you have that?
Yeah. So it's activated charcoal ice cream, and there are actually a number of flavors.
But when I hear activated charcoal and food item, I think what you give to dogs.
Yeah, so
because
it's funny
we give
you say
our dogs
that.
Activated charcoal biscuits, and I think isn't Pepto Bismol activated charcoal?
Well, so here I looked up activated charcoal, and so people take activated charcoal to manage a poisoning or an overdose,
right? And that, Pepto, I think, is actually activated charcoal,
probably
with like some pink dye in it.
So you can use it, but it is not okay. So you cannot use it for cyanide poisoning, lithium poisoning, alcohol poisoning, or iron poisoning.
But the thought is that the activated charcoal soaks up bad things
mm-hmm.
from your stomach.
Right.
Supposedly.
Basically, if you go to WebMD, it's more about what it doesn't do, or it isn't actually, no one's sure it does
it. This borders on homeopathic BS.
Yeah. Honestly. But you know what? It was 100% homeopathically motherfucking delicious. So we rolled up, and we knew it was the hot thing. We went to some weird name.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Hot Crunch. I don't know. Some weird fucking name. So we rolled in, and, you know, we read the article. It was like, oh, this is the place to go, and there's a line.
Oh, is it Halo?
Halo Crunch.
Yeah.
Halo Crunch. And so we rolled in, and there was basically, we saw the very long, like, people guiding rope. Thing.
Yeah, there was a place where a line of people would form.
Did you notice that it skipped a door to an adjacent building
yes.
and then kept going?
Yes.
So that was very funny. But there was really very little, the door was open because there was like the line ended at the door, which was great. So we got in.
There was no music playing.
It was a bare-bones shop. Like,
it really was.
If I had looked in there when they were not open, I would think that business had, you know, foreclosed.
Yeah.
It was pretty bare.
So when you go to an ice cream place, you generally think there's going to be more than like 3 items on the menu.
Not this place. No. They took one of the menu like signs and flipped it.
Yeah.
In the sign holder, so it was you couldn't actually read what was on it.
So this ice cream was it, and they were like maybe three flavors.
They were like four.
Three or four. Okay, yeah. Four flavors.
And they could ribbon them, which, you know, they could mix them, which we did. But yeah, it was all ribbon
a couple of them, and a couple of them they had that they could only do like one on top of the other. Right. I think it had to do with the machine placement.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because the two complementary, because they would tell you like one flavor, the other flavor, and then what it made together.
Yes.
So we ended up doing the activated charcoal and ube, I think it was called. It's like a sweet potato, like a Japanese sweet potato.
Okay.
So it was beautiful. Actually, maybe I'll use the picture for it somehow with the podcast image. But
This stuff is like, this is Instagram fodder.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody, we'll get to that.
Yeah, don't jump ahead. So it's beautiful. It is alternating colors of like a fairly dark gray to
like
light black.
Dark gray.
Like light like black.
A charcoal gray.
I don't know if I'd say charcoal is mine. So charcoal, gray, black, and then a purple, like a pretty, like a deep purple, but yes. Not the band. Like kind of some, you know, alternating. A beautiful cone.
Yes.
And so we kind of trepidatiously, like Eric and I got that one, and then Mel got a different one, right?
She got, they couldn't do these on top of, she got the whatever the black one was.
The charcoal.
And then matcha, green tea.
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
Which also looked cool, the green and black.
Yeah, of course. Very fashionable ice cream.
Basically, colors. Black ice cream looks awesome with whatever other color you put it with, apparently. So, you know, we were very trepidatious about this, but first of all, it was fucking delicious. Like, we could not believe how good it was.
It really was delicious.
It was really good. Because the charcoal didn't taste like charcoal. You were so poo-pooing it. You were ready to identify the next ice cream place to go to.
Yeah, I was like, can we go get some real ice cream at this other place? And then I tried it. I was like, okay.
This is legit.
This is really good.
And ours, like, the flavors were meant to be eaten together, and they were really very good together. So that's one thing. So the charcoal ice cream.
Oh, and the cone.
The cone was a waffle cone that also had activated charcoal in it.
Yes, and it was black.
And it was straight up black. And if you're wondering, yes, we all looked like goths. We all looked like we had just walked out of a Cure concert because we all had black lips, black tongues. You couldn't help it because the ice cream was really tall.
So, of course, like everyone else, you had to take a picture of this ice cream cone before you went to town on it.
Well, I didn't. Erica did.
Okay.
But she did it in front of like a very bright red door. It was right. Very Instagram food.
And what happened when that picture was being taken?
I don't think you were there for that.
Okay.
That didn't happen with the picture.
That didn't happen with the picture?
No, that happened after you started eating it.
Okay.
So you're talking about the suicide attempt?
Yeah.
Of the ice. Yeah. So the picture came out perfect. You're thinking of the person next to us.
All right, go ahead.
No. So we were, Eric and I were sharing our cone going back and forth. And, you know, like about three licks in, the entirety of the soft serve. This isn't scoops of ice cream that weren't seated properly. Mm-hmm. This was soft serve.
Yep.
The entirety of the soft serve decided to just fucking jump out of our cone. Luckily, I was holding my right hand and I just happened to have my left hand nearby. So I just fucking swatted it back into the cone. So I had like ice cream on my hand, but like it could have been a lot worse.
Oh yeah.
Case in point.
So as we were out there finishing our
charcones.
Our delicious charcones. Yeah. Other people the line is growing now, right? As soon as we get out of
that line was across two storefronts by the time we left.
Yes. So I don't know how we lucked into that, but yeah. Whatever. Not complaining.
Nope.
So the other people are coming out, and of course, everybody who comes out is like, I have to take a picture of this.
We can't understate, and the picture will hopefully help, but it's a strikingly odd-looking ice cream
cone. It is.
Like, pretty, but weird.
Understandable, but like, literally, I think everybody who came out with a cone had to take a picture of themselves with the cone.
Yep. There's a lot of posing with it.
Right. So almost immediately after we get ours and we're eating them, somebody else comes out, takes a picture, and the cone is, the ice cream is down.
It just jumps out of that motherfucking
and
thing.
And it's on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And within seconds of that, this guy comes out from the ice cream shop with this like kind of basically a bucket of water.
He was ready.
He's ready. And he's like, he's pouring it and getting the ice cream rinsed into
the gutter.
Yeah, the gutter of the street.
Which then made a very pretty purple and black
rivulet. And I think that happened at least two or three different times.
Within the same girl drop it twice? Or almost she almost dropped it the second time?
Yeah.
I think she almost dropped it the second time she tried to take a picture.
Yes.
Now, I think I have a theory as to why this was happening.
Okay.
So, if you know anything about soft serve ice cream, it shouldn't do that.
Right. Because
it fills and adheres into the cracks of the cone. But, so this is where we go back and get a little insight, a little research.
Are you doing science?
No.
Oh, okay.
Before that, we were at an olive oil store.
Mm-hmm.
And we were having a discussion with the olive oil lady. I'll call her the olive oil monger.
Okay, that's fair.
She knew her olive oil.
She sold the olive oil very
but
well.
She knew it, yeah. She really knew that fucker. She was mongering the shit. Is that a verb? It is now. She was mongering the shit out of that olive oil. But we mentioned we were going over to iHalo Crunch. And she's like, oh, my daughter went there and she hated it because the ice cream dripped on her shoes because there's a hole in the cone on the bottom and mm-hmm. it drips through.
Right.
And so we all made a mental note. We're like, oh, okay, we got to watch out for dripping on our feet. So apparently that had been a complaint because
mm-hmm.
we noticed while we were there that they were prepping new cones while we were in line. And they put fluff.
Mm-hmm.
They put a little bit of fluff at the bottom of each cone.
Mm-hmm. Like prevent, a marshmallow sort of fluff.
Like fluff, like marshmallow fluff. Yeah. To prevent it from dripping through. But I think that also coated the inside of the cone a bit.
Okay.
And prevented the ice cream from hearing.
The ice cream is not bonding to the inside of the cone.
It's not. You need a, on a chemical level, Smike, you need a certain degree of
and
adherence.
And it could have been the charcoal, too. It could have been, I
guess.
Anyway, as we left and we were walking along, we see that river of colorful ice cream
has grown.
Like, it goes the length of the street. So yeah. If you go there, be careful. Take your picture, but don't tilt that cone at all, or it will be on the pavement.
Toronto, where the streets run black with charcoal ice cream.
So that's enough about dessert in Toronto, isn't it?
No, is
really?
It?
Really? I don't know.
You're all about talking about it. I don't know. We filled 27 minutes, mostly talking about...
Oh, my God.
Japanese and...
Can we talk about something else, then?
Sure.
You were there. We saw Atomic Blonde.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about that.
Briefly.
Okay.
Since I wasn't there.
Okay, I'm not going to spoil it.
All right.
I mean, I've already told you, so I'm going to... This is a little bit of a repeat for you.
You are really fucking sugared up right now.
I'm trying to be enthusiastic. I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry. You can try so hard.
So... Anyway, after you guys got the hell out of town, we went out and had some real fun and watched Atomic Blonde.
Gotta scratch my forehead with my middle finger here.
Yeah. So we actually tried to see it. The four of us tried to go out and see it, but we were like exhausted.
Yeah.
And it was only playing late night, and we're old.
We're all old at this point. We're not as old as you, but we have a kid, which makes you old.
Yeah.
Even if you're not old.
So we did end up going to see it, and I was like, I did not have high hopes for this film.
Mm-hmm.
It's been getting really mixed reviews,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of negative,
but like evenly mixed.
Yeah,
like well, not like firmly negative. Like there, I read some good reviews for it.
Okay,
for the record.
So I was pleasantly surprised.
You had low expectations.
I had low expectations, but I was pleasantly surprised. The fighting scenes, and there were a lot. The action scenes, I thought, were solid. They're really well done. There's some brutal fight scenes, which makes sense. Because on the one hand,
she's
like,
an Atomic Blonde.
Well, it really kind of made the whole spy thing a lot less glamorous. Because the fights were just like, ugh, God, nobody's...
Knock down, drag out, kind of.
Yeah, well, and when you first see her, and this isn't spoiling anything... She is like, you've probably even seen this in the preview. She's like, she's getting out of this bathtub of ice.
Oh, yeah. And she's all
covered
with
bruises.
Yep.
And that, you know, that part of that is like, yeah, this is an awful job.
Did you get the sense that the choreography of the fights was done for a female protagonist? So that's one of the things I read.
I think so. I mean, I could see where that would come from because... You know, there were times when she was fighting somebody and like there was like she's like I just need to beat this person enough that I can get the fuck out of here. and you know, there it wasn't like she's the I don't know, the superlative martial artist who is just going to kick anyone's ass.
Right. And, regardless of size. Yeah, or regardless skill level
of size or skill. Like, no, she's just trying to get the fuck out of here. Right.
It sounds pretty pragmatic.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
That's cool.
Very pragmatic fighting. But I mean, she's definitely good at it. But she's not like the best in the world.
And it's set in the 80s.
Oh, God, is it set in the 80s? It's set around the time of the Berlin Wall falling, which is like mid-80s.
Berlin Wall is falling down.
And there is some 80s music in this.
Would you say on a scale of 1 to, it's 1 to 86?
1 to 86. 1 to 1980s. 1 to 1986. It is at 1986.
Okay.
It is the most 80s music. And not just any 80s music. This isn't like top 40 80s music. Right. This is like Depeche Mode.
New Wave.
And The Cure. Like New Wave 80s music. Bauhaus. I can't even remember. You know, David Bowie. It's good stuff for me. Because I love that music. You know, that's the music that I... This is going to sound weird. It's the music that I wish I could have grown up listening to more.
Huh, so it was a little before your time?
It wasn't, but...
You weren't hip.
This was... Go back in time. It's the 80s. There is no internet.
Right.
You are pretty much limited to three ways to find music.
Okay.
One is the radio. Right. And that's that is way number one.
By the way, it was like that in the 90s, too.
All right. probably very similar. So, yeah. One is the radio, mm-hmm. So you know you're at the mercy of whatever local stations you have.
Oh yeah.
Two is your friends.
Mm-hmm.
So you know if you got hip friends, you can get some good music from them. You get a mixtape or something. And three is whatever you go and buy at the local record store.
Right, based on like recommendations.
But yeah, that's the trick, is like figuring out what to buy.
Yeah.
You know, and you can listen to some of it there, but it was pretty hard.
Remember that? Mostly, when there would be headphones hanging all over the place at the stores and you would listen to your
Well, no, that was a 90s thing.
Was it?
Back in the 80s, we didn't have that. Oh. We didn't have that shit. You bastards. If you were lucky, they'd be playing something good and you could go, hey, what is that?
What's that song, bro?
And actually, that happened to me. I remember like years and years and years ago, I had heard when I was in a record store something and I was like, I really like this, but I had to go. And it wasn't until years later that I found out, oh, that was Kate Bush. And I was like, okay, I'm going to buy all the fucking Kate Bush I can.
So you didn't even get to ask the person.
I know. And I would just like, I went without realizing what that was until I heard it again. It's like, oh, that's that song. Oh, my God.
But that's what's crazy about music. Music and smells. No, seriously. Like, there's been all sorts of research on this. Like, those things activate memory in a way that so many other things don't. You know? It's just odd.
Yeah. So, and when I was growing up, where I was growing up, which is in, like, the northern Indiana, it was very...
Erie, Indiana?
No, not Erie, Indiana. It was like Elkhart, South Bend. But the point of that is that we only had there were two top 40 radio stations, one classic rock and one like easy listening. And there was one college radio station, Goshen College.
Goshen.
And they had, I swear they moved their schedule around all the time.
No, they do.
But
the DJs changed.
Yeah. But it was like, if you tuned in, and for one thing, it was really difficult for me to tune into it. It's like, I had to, like, the stars had to be aligned and the moon had to be in a certain phase. And it was an FM station, you know, and I was just like listening from the basement in my parents' house.
Uh-huh.
I was a kid, of course.
Right, you know, right.
But that's where my stuff was, in the basement.
My stuff.
So, and I had like the FMN aerial thing like stretched all around.
Did you have the paperclip string?
No, it was like one of the, you know, plastic ones. I had it like tucked into the ceiling tiles to try to get maximum space for it. And on a good night, I could, you know, you're like twisting the dial, like, God, oh my God, I can, if I get it just in that one spot and not a millimeter, not even a quarter of a tenth of a nanometer off, I can hear it with only a little bit of static. Yep.
And that was okay. You put up with
that. Yeah, oh yeah.
Static, when you wanted to get that station that bad, it was okay. It was acceptable.
Yes, it's a certain level of static. Okay, the signal to noise ratio is acceptable.
It is not exceptional, but it is.
And it was not just that. It was like I had to get it on and didn't have it be a night when they were playing the good music. Like, not the classical stuff, not show tunes.
Oh, God.
Not like whatever bluesy, folky, hillbilly, whatever fucking crap. Because it was like they were all over the place.
Yeah, college radio station.
Yeah.
They're the most eclectic radio stations known to man.
But yeah, on some nights it was like it was that stuff. It was, you know, it was the Cure, Bauhaus, Depeche Mode.
So what I'm hearing and is I would be like, you had to work for it.
I did,
and I bet that helped make an indelible impression on you.
It I'm sure it did. And then, you know, as I got a little bit older, and like finally went out to like a club that was playing that music, it was like, oh my God, this is too much for me. I shouldn't be here. These people are too cool.
I'm in the club. I'm in the club.
Oh, I kind of recognize some of these songs, but I God, these people are so awesome that I'm just boring.
I just want, for the listeners at home, you have to understand this. Mike is like is like gesticulating wildly as he says that, and like his arm, like he's flexing.
I'm like doing Kermit the Frog arm.
Yeah, but he's like flexing in excitement. Like his triceps and forearms are like bulging, and it's very odd. And slightly erotic. I don't know.
Because I was never one of those kids in high school or junior high, but mostly high school.
Yeah.
And there were the kids that would have been, they would have been called goth in the 90s. But right. It was the 80s and we didn't have goth.
You didn't have goth, you didn't have emo. So what did you call them? New wave?
I don't know. They were just like.
Those kids?
Freaks. I don't know. I mean, I was like, these guys are just cool and they listen to good music and I can just kind of like. I can't hang out with them though.
They're too old and weird.
And
I'm too lame.
Yeah, I know. I always felt like I was too lame for cliques like that. Yeah. But anyway, I was like kind of on the periphery of the different cliques. I was more of a loner.
The lone wolf rides alone.
Yeah. But more because I was like an introvert than right. Because I just was like better than anybody else. No, I was just like, no, I'm just gonna do my own thing because that's all I know how to do. So anyway, it was that music in Atomic Blonde, and I was loving that. I can see a lot of people. Mel was one of those cool kids. See, she was one of the ones.
But she's only a year older than you, right?
Yeah, but she was more.
Oh, I've seen the pictures, Mike.
Yeah, okay.
I've seen the black lipstick and the flock of seagulls hairstyles.
Yeah.
I've seen those pics of her.
Yeah. And now she's
mine. And they are glorious.
They are glorious. But now she's mine. She's my goth girl now.
So that you, I'm just imagining vowing, like, one day I'm going to marry one of those girls with the black lipstick and their flock of seagulls hair and their gee whiz cool attitude.
And I did.
And you did.
I did. It's awesome. And she has a lot of the music that's good.
Yeah.
Anyway, she's got a lot of it. Anyway, so that was like, Atomic Blonde was like one giant music video of that music.
With a kick-ass heroine.
Yeah.
That sounds like a great music video to me.
The one thing I will knock it for, though, is that it is also one gigantic commercial for Stoli Vodka.
You could say the same thing about Men in Black and Ray-Bans. I mean, you know.
No, but I mean, do they talk about their Ray-Bans and Men in Black?
Yes,
they do. Like, refer to them as Ray-Bans?
Yes, they sheer product placement.
Oh, okay.
I went out and spent $100 on Ray-Bans because of that movie. It was a very impressionable 13-year-old.
Well, anyway, yeah, Stoli Vodka is like even used as like a plot device. It's mentioned multiple times. The product placement is very heavy.
Umar, I have a thought for you. Why don't you put this vodka bottle in your hand and then fight with it? And I know this isn't choreographed or anything, but I would really like you, because I am financing this movie, I really think it is important that I, Mr. Stoli, get this in your movie. Dude, product placement is an
assistant. You'll pay me how much? Okay.
I'm Uma Thurman. I can do whatever the fuck I want. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like product placement's always been there. It will never go away.
Yeah. It's just when they're, you know, calling it by name.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's distracting.
It is a little distracting.
It pulls you out of the movie.
It does.
So back to Toronto.
Yeah, I'd recommend the movie, though. If you don't hate 80s music. If you like that kind of 80s music, absolutely go see it.
The funny thing is, I misremembered Watchmen having an all-80s soundtrack. And I looked, because I said that to Erica, and she's like, no, not even close. And I looked, and I'm like, oh yeah, there's like 180 song in the whole movie. I don't know why I remembered it that way.
I don't know.
Had some good meals.
Yeah.
Had gave a little sass to our waiter at Carbon Bar.
Yeah, not in a bad way.
No, he was up for it.
He was up for it.
He was up for the challenge.
You had a rapport with the waiter. I think we all did, but you were the one who established it.
I established the rapport with the waiter. You established the rapport with the giant platter of meat.
All right, so we went to this place called... We're doing one more food porn thing here.
It's a funny story.
Okay. So, this place called the Carbon Bar. It's in Toronto. It's delicious, wonderful, one of our favorite places. Absolutely what...
You had talked it up. We were excited to go. They had a drink called Raised by Wolves. It sounded amazing.
And it was, and you had it.
And
it
I drank several of them. It was fantastic.
But it's very meat...
Centric
menu.
Establishment.
Yeah, a lot of good smoking going on.
So I'm sitting there and I see that there is this like platter o' meat, but you can't get, and it's got all the stuff I wanted. And it was the only way to get all these different things together because you couldn't order like some of that stuff on its own.
Yeah.
But you had to have minimum two people get it, and it was like $30-some a head.
Yeah.
And so I was like, all right, well, I'll just forget about it then. So I was perusing the menu trying to find something else when...
So the ladies had both ordered. They, whatever they ordered.
Well, they decided.
No, they'd actually ordered. And this is, we're, okay, maybe they decided, whatever. We had some drinks there, so memory's not quite...
I have a higher tolerance than you do. I remember this pretty well. So it was before we ordered.
So yeah, and the ladies had decided, and I look up at you and like, well, Mike, I was kind of thinking about doing this platter thing. And you're like, yes, before I even finish.
You shouldn't finish the sentence.
Yep, let's do it.
Done.
I'm in.
Platter meat for two? Make it so. And it was so much meat.
It was a lot of meat. It was a ridiculous amount of meat.
And did we bring any back to the hotel room,
Mike? My colon is not going to be recovering for like months.
Smike, you had... The meat sweats. There is no, but it's a thing, and there's no other way to describe it other than you had the meat sweats. You imbibe so much meat, and I do that on a regular basis because of my diet. So, like, I can handle a ton of meat, and maybe I eat more than I should have that night, but, like, my body's like, oh, meat, okay, this isn't the day ending, and why?
Yeah, and it wasn't like, an all-you-can-eat challenge. I mean, there wasn't, like, if we finished it, we got it for free.
It wasn't John Candy and Great Outdoors. Yeah.
But that did come up. That reference did come up. It was delicious.
It was amazing. But that was the best brisket I've ever had.
Most people like brisket. Like, okay, brisket's all right.
I never like brisket. Brisket is always kind of rubbery. There's something about the texture that I hate.
Yeah.
And I always, I swear to God, so many times people are like, oh, the brisket's really good here. I'm like, yeah, okay. Because I've been burned so many times because I bite into it. I'm like, I get that nails on chalkboard feeling. Even good smoke. Yeah. I don't like their brisket, but
it's usually a little bit tough,
chewy.
Yeah,
something's wrong with it always, but not this place.
Like, it was
falling apart, but in a good way.
It was amazing.
Yeah, we probably could have done with less fried chicken.
It was really good fried chicken.
It was really good fried chicken.
So anyway, yeah, we had an absurd amount of meat at Carbon.
And Smike did not sleep too well.
No, I got up. It was a mistake to just go to sleep in bed. After
that much meat.
So like, I woke up with reflux, and it was, you know, when you like you wake up and you're choking and you're like, what's going on? Why am I choking? What the hell? Oh, okay.
It was like a choke burn, right?
Yeah. And it doesn't go away.
Right.
you know, your throat is just burning for mm-hmm. like the next hour.
Yeah, because the meat was trying to crawl its way back up your esophagus to escape.
Doing a good job of that. So I got up and like and took a few handfuls of Tums and then waited for my because I was just coughing and choking. And waited for that to die down. And like about an hour later, I went back to bed, which is just the worst thing I could have done. Because then they're like, oh, you're going to lie down again? Well, I'm out of here this time. Crawl, crawl, crawl. And yeah, I wake up again. It's worse.
Yeah, because you already had like second degree burns on the side of your fucking throat.
Yeah, so I ended up getting a few hours of sleep on the sofa, sort of like...
Propped up, yeah. To keep the meat at bay.
Yeah, to keep those. You stay down there, meat. Damn brisket. You're not getting out that easily.
You were pretty rough the next morning.
Yeah. Well, that was a pleasant story. The moral of that story is, no, there's no moral.
No, there's no moral.
It was worth it.
It was so good.
I would do it again in a heartbeat.
You've learned nothing, sir. And for that, we salute you. Your sacrifice. I want to say your manliness, but it's really just male stupidity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no regrets.
Nope.
I should, but I don't.
Nope. It's fine. So I was right there with you, and I have none.
Well, that's our meat story.
So much meat, so little time. There was some very dapper hat shopping.
Yeah.
It was a very expensive, very dapper hat establishment.
Yes.
What, Wildhagen?
Wildhagen.
Wildhagen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's they make hats. I mean, they're not, you know, they don't bring them in from China or whatever.
A hattery.
It was the haberdasher.
Haberdasher, thank you.
Yeah, they you know, there was one room where they had the hats available on display, and you go in the back and they're making hats.
Yeah, you could tell there was some hat making happening,
which was cool. We got a couple hats out of that.
Yeah,
you didn't. You were the only one I think who did not.
I hated their hats.
Yeah,
I loathed their hats so much.
They didn't
much.
Have one. They didn't have a good one for you.
They did. They were all like too many colors. The male hats were like at least three different colors, and I was like, and they're all too big for my head. But Erica and Mel, their hats look great on them, and so I bought Erica a hat.
You don't hate the hats that they have.
I just hate their hats for me.
Yeah. And they're constantly changing their inventory and their designs.
Mm.
And I think you just came in when they were like making a run that you didn't really care for.
Yeah, the Rainbow Bright collection.
Right. But you I mean, I was wearing the hat that I got there before.
I don't like that.
You don't like that one? The dark reddish.
I don't like large brim fedoras.
All right.
Yeah. I'm a stingy brim guy.
I need more of a brim.
See, I want my hat to have no discernible utilitarian function whatsoever.
I'm much more pragmatic about my hat.
If it's sunny, I want my hat to in no way impede the sun from blinding my eyes with its rays of death. And not only that, but I will wear my hat cocked to ensure that it has no utilitarian purpose whatsoever. So even if it could, maybe like I could maybe put it down to just over my eye line. It would look weird, but it might actually block the sun. Fuck that. If the sun's to my upper right, I want to bend my hat to the lower left. I want the sun fucking burning my retinas. That's how I wear my hats, Mike.
If we could make a hat that would somehow increase the rays of the sun as they come down on
you.
Your
know that
head.
Bowl that IKEA made that actually like lights things on fire?
We looked, okay, so we stopped at IKEA on the way out because that's the closest one. Is mm-hmm. the IKEA's in Canada. We looked, they were sold out of those.
Yeah, because it's
because everybody wants
it's
one.
It's a bowl that lights fucking, things on fire. Yeah.
So, I wanted to get one. I was like, yeah,
it's like
sure.
a $5 bowl, too, right?
It was the first thing we looked for. Yeah. Like, so, dirt cheap, but it makes fire.
If you aren't aware of this, there's you can look it up on the internet. There's like a mirrored
there's like blank
bowl.
Bland a blank or something.
Yeah,
something
silly
blank.
Made up word in Norwegian.
Bland a blank.
Look up on the. There's a funny story about this mirrored bowl that is like at $5 at IKEA. That
bland the blank, I think.
If you put it in the sun, it'll apparently, it's like the way the light hits it, it will like fucking refocus the sun's rays and light that shit on whatever's in your bowl on fire. So it lit some dude's grapes on fire, which is endlessly entertaining to me.
That's not a euphemism. They were actually
no. He had grapes that he was eating, edible grapes, and he put them in the bowl.
He did not have his testicles in the bowl.
No. This is not a self-mutilation
story. No way would I recommend trying that.
No, not with this bowl. Fuck that. If you're ever going to do the, you know, hide your dick or balls in a thing and be like that asshole, don't do it in this bowl. No, do it. You know what? No, do it in this bowl. Because you fucking deserve it. If you're that asshole like, oh, I'm going to put my dick in a hot dog bun. I'm going to put my balls in this bowl. You are getting what you fucking deserve. Singed testicle hair. But yeah, so yes, if you could take that bowl and make it a hat on my head, I would wear it.
I almost spit out that drink there.
That was awesome.
That was nice. Nicely timed, sir. Nicely timed. Oh man, there's got to be something else.
Should I talk about my border crossing experience?
I was gonna say I was gonna switch gears completely.
Oh yeah, go for it.
You guys finished watching the Tick.
We are caught up on the half season or whatever that is out. Yes.
Totally recommend it.
Oh, abso-fucking-lutely.
Yeah.
Love that show.
It's fun.
Hey, loved it. The pilot?
I know what's going to happen. Things are weird, and I'm enjoying that.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had like multiple conversations about this, the four of us, and we're like, none of us can agree on exactly what the fuck is going on.
We actually had to look up that last line the terror said, because we couldn't quite make it out what he was saying.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's funny, but it's funny
once you realize, oh, okay.
Oh, right.
He's just like, like, what did he say?
Yeah, like Erica was like, what is this voice that Jackie Earle Haley. I told you, I always call him Jackie Early. Jackie Earle Haley, what is this voice he's doing? It's so weird.
Yeah.
It's like raspy. It totally works. He's a great actor. But you know what's weird about him, right? Like, have I told you about this?
I don't know. But I just want to say he's so fucking nailed it in Watchmen.
I mean, yeah. Oh, as Rorschach?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like, who's going to pull off playing Rorschach? Okay,
done.
Done.
No, never mind. Answer that question. Next question. So it's funny. When I was working in the video store in high school, we had like the bad horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, some places go for the arty horror movies. We did not. So we had like Silent Night, Deadly Night 3, but not 1 or 2. Like, it was that kind of like shitty. Like, you go in there, like college kids loved it because they walk in and be like, you have only sequels of bad horror movies. You know, the original one. But we had the Maniac.
Were they
Cops.
Too expensive?
I don't. Well, yeah, actually. I remember, I mean, that was on the cusp of like the late 90s. VHS tapes were. No, not, I'm sorry. Early to mid to late 90s, the VHS tapes were just coming down from being astronomically expensive.
Okay.
Expensive. But we had the Maniac Cop series. Some of them. And I remember being like, this looks like shit. Like, I never watched him because that was him.
Oh, wow.
That he was the Maniac then? Cop. And then if you look at, so I was looking this up after watching.
Did you watch the Maniac Cop
movies? No, they looked like super bad. I never bothered. Well, maybe they're amazing. Maybe they're a tour de force. Maybe we should watch one.
Because this is the thing, though. For all of these like shitty 80s movie series, like Maniac Cop and Trancers and Puppet Master,
Trancers.
There's a reason that all these the sequels got made.
Well,
and it was because the first one was like,
usually
oh,
not
this
bad,
doesn't
yeah.
really suck.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually not a bad movie.
Yeah, like if you watch Screamers, it's like, this is an interesting kind of sci-fi or horror movie. It's not amazing, but not terrible. And then there's a second, a third, and a fourth.
Yeah.
Keeps going.
So anyway, I'm just throwing that out there.
So check on this on IMDb. This is fascinating to me because I have all these. I want to have a crazy theory about it. So he did like the Maniac Cop movies.
He must have been really young for that.
Yeah, he was. And then he just disappears for like 5 or 10 years on IMDb. And then he pops back up and he's like doing Watchmen.
Huh.
And you're like, what did he go to like, what, like, did he have an extended Shaolin like training montage of acting classes where he just like focused his inner chi Iron Fist style and became an amazing actor all of a sudden? Or was he really good in Maniac Cop and I never watched it?
I don't know. Maybe that was it.
But yeah, like this, I think it's close to a decade that he's here. I'll look it up. I'm pretty
maybe,
sure.
Maybe, oh my God, the director, why can't I think of his name?
Oh God, Zack Snyder?
Zack Snyder, yeah. Maybe Zack Snyder is watching Maniac Cop and like, oh, there's my Rorschach.
But he wanted him acting like he did in that movie. And it's like, what is, why are you doing this, man? Oh, 50 Shades movies.
This is IMDb searching music.
He's good in Preacher, too.
And that's still not as annoying as that song from Pablo.
Okay, so Partridge Family. Valley of the Dinosaurs. So he was around the 70s. He was doing a lot in the 70s.
Who's he in Partridge? Was he like one of the kids?
Probably
in
like
the
a day player. Family? One episode. He was Rusty. Oh, okay. He was Rusty. Do you remember Rusty?
No.
Yeah, I don't either.
Nobody remembers Rusty.
He was in the Bad News Bears movie.
Damnation Alley. That's a classic. I mean that.
Whiz Kids, losing it. American Playhouse. Okay, maybe he was more legit than I thought. Wait a minute.
Yeah, you're selling them short here.
Maniac Cop 3. So he was only in Maniac
what?
Cop 3.
What? He was in 1 or 2?
Look at this. Look at the year jump.
All right, so 93 to 2006.
What the fuck?
Nothing.
How weird is that?
And all the King's Men? Whoa. That's heavy.
Yeah, he just comes out swinging.
What was right before Watchmen here? I don't know what Fragments.
Fragments?
Is.
It sounds weird. And okay, we won't count Sammy
Perkins. But all the King's Men...
But yeah, 83 solid. To 2006.
93.
Or, 93 to 2006. That's 13 years.
Yeah.
He was in Kun Lun, training his inner chi. And then the monks are like, we have nothing to teach you, Jackie Earl Haley. You need to go out into the world and shed yourself of Maniac Cop 3. But not 1 or 2, because you weren't Maniac Cop 1 or 2. I feel vindicated. I knew there was a huge time jump. It was even bigger than I remembered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Good for him.
Yeah, turn that shit around.
Quick shout out, because I finally got around. We finally got around to watching a couple episodes of People of Earth. It's good, and probably like everybody else has watched it by now except us.
I have not heard anyone. Talking about it.
The first season is done.
Okay.
So they're like just about to start the second season.
Start filming or start airing?
Airing.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so somehow we missed that whole thing. It's on. It's a TBS.
What's TBS?
Yeah,
I think you just explained how you missed
okay.
it.
But this is good. It's good. It's a for anybody who hasn't seen this. It's a comedy, and the premise is that there's this group of you're yawning.
I'm sorry. No, it's alcohol.
It's a good movie. It's a good show. Good show.
It was reminiscent. I think Erica said it was reminiscent of The Good Place based on the trailer we saw.
Yeah, a little bit. It's that kind of vibe. So it's a little goofy, but the premise is that there's this group of people who have been abducted by aliens in at different times, so they think.
I'm gonna hit you.
Yeah. So
Yeah, you are.
So this group of people they've each been abducted by aliens or think they have, and they meet. In a church basement as like a support group for each other. And this guy comes in to do like a reporting segment.
A reporter comes in.
Yeah. And he's like, this is like a throwaway article that he's just kind of, he doesn't think it's going to go anywhere.
But he seems kooky.
Yeah. He's got issues. He's got some definite issues of his own. And it just goes off from there. And it's like a little bit Good Place, a little bit X-Files. A lot of silliness and little tongue-in-cheek parody sort of stuff. But
looked like a little bit of Alan Wake. You never played Alan
Wake,
no, did you?
I didn't.
You should.
All right.
It's really good.
But anyway, we watched a couple episodes and really liked it. I think that's going to be one of the next things that we binge on.
Nice.
Definitely would recommend it. It's highly it's well reviewed too.
It seemed like a, you know, artsy indie vibe, kind of good.
Yeah,
good
I really like the guy who's playing the main character. I can't even imagine what his name is right now. But
I've never seen him before. He didn't look familiar.
But yeah, he does a great job. A solid cast. Go watch it. People of Earth.
Defenders is good. That's all I got.
I know. I just can't though. I mean, I can't.
You haven't earned it, Mike.
I know.
Haven't put in all the homework,
and I don't want to. My God, I don't want to watch all these other series.
But
just
you
so
get
I
Jessica
can...
Jones. You get. You're like, oh, it's Jessica Jones. She's back. And,
But then I'd have to watch Daredevil. I'd have to watch Iron Fist.
So
and then I have to watch. At
you
least
could
a
get
more
away.
Luke Cage.
You could get away with not watching any more Luke Cage. you really have to watch the the second season of Daredevil more than anything. And then you'd have to get through Iron Fist. Because this picks up, like, the rollout of the seasons, like, is very much just comes directly after Iron Fist aired. And that is by far the worst of the Netflix. If I had to rank them, by the way, I've been thinking about this. If I had to rank the Netflix Marvel Universe by season, because I can't do this with Game of Thrones. Like, people are doing this after the season finale, and I'm like, I don't fucking remember the seasons that well. I don't know why you guys all remember it so well. But I would definitely say, like, Jessica Jones season one, Daredevil season one. I was going to say Luke Cage season one next. But the first half of Daredevil season two with the Punisher is so good. And even though the second half sets up the Defenders, it's really not good. But I go Jessica Jones season one, Daredevil season one, Daredevil season two, Luke Cage, Iron Fist. Because Iron Fist is fucking horrendously hard to get through. It's slow, and that would be forgivable if it had a payoff. It does not have a payoff.
Is Defenders the payoff of it?
Yes. And it's like, he's mildly better. I mean, I read an article title that said literally Defenders shows how to make Iron Fist not suck. But what it should have said, what it didn't say was, but it still doesn't make him great. Should have been the tagline of that title. So, yeah. But like watching Iron Fist go up against Luke Cage is pretty cool. Like, there's a lot of nerd moments where you're like, okay, yeah. Yeah, let's just throw a bunch of ninjas at Jessica Jones and watch what happens. Because she's going to say exactly what you're thinking. Is like, at one point she goes, am I the only one who doesn't know martial arts in this room? It's great. Because she's totally the voice of reason when everyone else is like super serious and into it. And she's like, guys, what the fuck's going on here? We are Buddies in Space. You are.
S. Michael Smith. You are.
And Michael Carassi.
Buddies in Space is a Stolen Dress Entertainment production. Visit StolenDress.com to check out other Stolen Dress podcasts, blogs, tweets, videos, and books.
And we would recommend going to Toronto on your vacation.
Go to Toronto. Be wary of the border guard.
Oh, you didn't crossing. Get to your
it's border. Okay. You know what? All I'm going to say is it doesn't matter who you get. Park close to their curb. Don't leave your sunglasses on. And roll down all your windows. I don't care if it's fucking January 20th. Roll down your windows. Just do it. Because you know what? They're all fucking assholes. I'm convinced. That's my advice.
Every time when we're going back, and this is going back to the U.S.,
which is traditionally known to be the more irksome experience.
Yeah.
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 Because the Canadians traditionally don't give a shit if you're coming over.
Right.
But this is pre-Trump that was the rule.
Yeah.
And then it used to be
the rule was just don't fuck around with them
at all.
But yeah. But I think they have the reputation of getting worse. But whenever we've gone back, this has been going on for years and years because we go to Toronto a lot. We go there like every year.
Right.
And Melinda's used to it. And she's almost always the one driving.
Mm-hmm.
And she's always like, just let me talk. And I was like, oh, okay, but we're bringing back this stuff and this thing, and I'm not sure if we're supposed to. She's like, shut up. Just let me talk. And I'm always like, okay, well, if things go bad and we have to say, this is what, you know, these are the things that I'm... She's like, shut up. And just let me... And every time we go there, she hands the passports, you know, and they go country of origin, U.S., blah, 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 blah. And... It's like, did you buy anything? You know, yeah, we bought this, and a couple of these. And they're like, okay, you can go.
So she just gives a select list?
She's got it down to a science. She doesn't have any. She's like, I mean, we could be bringing back like a truck full of, I don't know, Syrian refugees or you know, a small mountain of cocaine, and
that seems like a very
we would be getting back
way to travel it
at any time. We could smuggle anything we want with her driving. Is all I'm saying.
Does she have to?
We don't.
Wow.
But we could.
I wish I want to be a fly in the wall at your next border crossing after this.
I'm just saying, and we will never do anything like that ever.
Do you want me to edit this out?
But we could.
She has dual citizenship, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that gives her special treatment?
No.
No.
Okay. She absolutely does not mention that when we're coming back.
Well, they can see it on the passport, can't they?
No.
Ah.
But we could.